Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a brand new special segment called What the Hack, where we share some hot tips on the newborn phase, potty training, and bath time, and so much more. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 129. Hi, Shauna.
Hey.
I want to know what's going on with you this week. What is your check-in? How old is that toddler?
Well, she is 23 months and 1 week, and a couple cute little things to report, and then a little update.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first thing that's new this week, it's just so delightful. She's always liked little back scratches and little leg tickles and stuff. I think I've talked about that even when she was an infant. She forgot about that for a while, and now her interest in this is back in full force.
How cute.
It's so cute. When we put her to bed at night, I think I've mentioned before, she doesn't really want us to hold her and sing or anything anymore. She's decided the new routine is we both lie on the floor, on the rug, and look up at her stars. And now what she's added to that routine is she takes off all of her jammies because she wants back scratching. She goes, back, scratch, scratch. And so then she'll come and lie on her tummy with her back up. And then you have to tickle, scratch her back. And then she'll go, legs, legs. And you do it on her legs. And then she's like, arms, arms. And she just wants you to do this little tickle all over her entire body. And it's nice because it helps her relax,
yeah,
actually, for bedtime. It's
definitely
good.
That's so cute. Although, I don't know about you, it's hard for me to get my guy into his jammies in the first place. So it's oh, you want to take them all off now?
I wouldn't recommend it. Sometimes it's easy for her to get them back on, but lately she has been protesting and throwing a fit. So if that, once she starts to do that, I'm like, no, we're not going to do jammy-less back scratch tonight. And,
yeah,
I'll just scratch her back through her jammies with, extra hard pressure or something like that. But I just love how she has dictated so many parts of her routine and her life. And we just go along with it. It's like, okay, CC does CC. We're along for the ride.
Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. She appears to be in charge.
Yes. Along that same note goes into my next little check-in with her.
Sure.
Is that she's been working on this for a while, but it's kind of come to a head this week. She is completely dressing and undressing herself from head to toe.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great because it's one less thing I have to do for her, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, she can do it herself. She picks it out. She puts on shirts, jackets, pants, undies, everything. If we're in a hurry to get somewhere, I'll help her along. Or sometimes she's resistant to the idea and I'll help her. But the flip side of that, it's just one more reminder that my little baby is growing up and just not my baby anymore. I mean, she's my baby, but she's not my infant, technically, anymore. So I have some feels about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're nowhere close to that. So I almost feel like she's just a little precocious on that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it the big sister effect again, probably?
I think it is. Yes, she watches her do it and just wants to do everything that Elle does. Yeah, I think so. So if you're listening and you too, Laura, don't feel bad if your toddler is not dressing themselves yet. I think that's just one of those things that's her interest. She's like, I'm interested in doing this and I'm going to master it because no one's paying attention to me right now. So I'm going to do what I want to do. I make it sound like I neglect my daughter. I don't.
I don't think anyone thinks you neglect your daughter.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah, the thing is, I feel like if my guy had this physical ability, like the ability to take his clothes on and off, he would just choose to be naked all the time. He has this weird obsession with going down the slide completely naked, which doesn't work, right?
No, it's bumpy and sticky.
Yes. And not the one at the park, I should say, the little indoor one have.
Good.
That would be inappropriate and very cold. No, he just whenever we're getting ready for bath time or whatever, if we take his pants off, he'll just sprint out to the living room, try to climb up on the slide. And then he just thinks it's the funniest thing that he's scooching down it. And yeah, so I feel like maybe it's the thing that maybe he shouldn't learn till he's a little older anyway, because otherwise we just have a fully nude child and we'd have to crank the heat up to unnatural.
Yes. You have to accommodate. That reminds me of this book, Naked. It's a kid's book. It's so cute. It's like about a little boy. He's like, I'm naked, 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 naked. And he's like sliding down the banister and like eating cookies naked and just like just being a naked little kid. And it's just, I think it's very accurate for a lot of little little kids. It's a really cute book. You should check it out. By David Shannon.
The problem is it'll probably help reinforce. I don't have a problem with him being naked, but like it does get chilly. Like our house is very poorly insulated and it's starting to get cold. And you know, he just wants to run around naked. And I'm like, well, like it's fine. It's your body, your choice, but he's like gets all mottled and like
oh my God.
It's cold. So anyway.
Kids don't care. I swear to God. Half the kids in elementary school wore shorts to school during the winter.
In Phoenix, to be fair.
I know. My terrible Phoenix winters. Anyway.
We digress.
Yeah. My little baby's growing up, you know, and we're not using the changing table anymore. She's out of diapers, except for sleeping. And she's getting herself snacks. You know, she'll open up the fridge and like open up the bottom drawer and get an orange, a little orange, and be like, orange, orange. And I'm just like, okay, you're growing up. I get it. I get it. Gotta get that kitten.
You better get that kitten. Or this pandemic needs to be over so you can just come over and, you know, snuggle my baby.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I can't wait. It's gonna be so nice. So that's that. And then the last thing is an update. I've been complaining for a while about super early wake-ups with Cece. Yes, like 4:30 a.m. And it's been very trying. And I had a little success with a couple things and then it backfired and nothing had worked really yet. Mm-hmm. And this time I think I actually found the solution and I'm really excited.
Oh my God, I'm like so want to know.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to help anyone else unless your kid listens to Enya for 10 hours every night. We have a literal 10-hour playlist called Enya for Bedtime, and she loves it. So we play it when she sleeps. And all of a sudden one night I'm like, you know, I wonder if the music at her light sleep state, you know, like 4:35 a.m. where they're sleeping, but they're kind of light sleeping. I wonder if that's rousing her and she's like getting interested in the music and wants to wake up.
Yeah.
So I cut off the Enya 10-hour long loop and I just turn it off before I go to bed from my, you know, from my Spotify on my phone. And ever since I've been doing that, she has been sleeping longer and I'm so delighted.
Oh, interesting. So it was just something stimulating at her least, what do they call it? Like there's like the least sleep pressure at that point.
Yes, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So I think it might have been bothering her.
Who knew Enya was so stimulating?
Literally nobody.
Nobody. No one was ever like, man, that Enya just really riles me up.
It jazzes me up and gets me ready for the day.
Do you think all our listeners know who Enya is?
Probably not, because I think Enya really had her burst of fame in the 80s, 90s. I'm not sure. She's kind of just a soothing semi-new age, you know, calming singer from, I don't know, like Scotland or Ireland.
Well, if you don't know, just search Spotify or whatever, YouTube for Enya. The Orinoco Flow is the one I remember from like, I think I was 13 and on a vacation with my parents. And I distinctly remember that album being played all the time for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been 1995-ish. So
okay, yeah, that makes sense. I know that song very well. I've heard it probably 18,000 times in my house. Even when my girls aren't sleeping and they're playing out in the living room, sometimes Elle will just be like, Alexa, play Enya. And she just starts playing. So yeah, I know that. Orinoco Flow. So yeah, it's nice music, but 10 hours is a bit much.
That is a bit much. That is a bit much. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you figured it out.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that keeps working and I can get some more sleep.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to you. How are you guys doing this week? And tell us everything.
Well, my toddler is 22 months and 2 weeks. And well, we're having a rough week with the sleep.
No.
You know, it's so funny. Our kids' age difference is like almost exactly a month, right? And I feel like they are almost exactly a month apart on certain things. And the thing this week is what I think is the same sleep regression you guys kind of went through about a month ago, like a nap regression. So
yes.
He's been taking longer and longer to fall asleep for his naps. And the upside is that he's not, like, upset about it in general. It's just that he will, like, lie in his crib for 45 minutes singing to himself, playing with his little toys, just kind of rolling around and talking to himself. Mm-hmm. And this earlier this week, 2 out of 3 days, he just didn't nap at all.
Oh my God.
He did that for, like, I think we left him in there for 90 minutes because he wasn't upset. He wasn't crying or asking for us. He was just talking to himself, singing songs.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so frustrating. Like, I should have just taken it as essentially nap time, but I'm watching this monitor thinking, kid, you need to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And never quite feeling like I could rest because he's, you know, I keep waiting for him to fall asleep. And
yeah, I get that. Has it been affecting his sleep or energy or mood after this quote unquote nap time ends? Like, what's your concern with him absolutely needing sleep in the middle of the day?
Yeah, that's the thing. He is a wreck by like 4 or 5 p.m.
Uh-huh.
He ends up just melting down at every little thing. And so I was like, we need to figure this out. He's not old enough to drop a nap. I get mm-hmm. that, like, lots of people just do quiet time, but I was like, no, he needs his sleep. Like, I know he does. He gets really, really grumpy and it just makes everything worse. Like, we need to get this kid to actually close his eyes and sleep. Mm-hmm. And so I went kind of nuclear.
Oh,
little mom crazy. So in his nursery, there's a big double doors that are like glass and mm-hmm. they are south facing. And the sun now is hitting them directly because we're, you know, getting into the winter. And so yes. the sun's lower. So it's like coming straight in. I have like a blackout shade and a blackout curtain on it, but it mm-hmm. still would be fairly bright in there. And mm-hmm. Kara, from taking care of babies, she's always like, if you can see your hand in front of your face, it's still too bright. And I was like, well, I can definitely, like, I could read a book in here. So we rarely open those blinds anyway. Most of the time they're drawn, like the shades are pulled down and the curtains are drawn. And he has this little like side window that's above his dresser and changing table, which we also don't use anymore. Mm-hmm. And we just use that for light. So I was like, well, I think it's time to tape aluminum foil over the big double doors. So one day when Corey had him out at the park, I went and got my blue painter's tape and our aluminum foil, and I just covered the glass from nice. Like top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
Aluminum foil.
It's too bad that really has kind of a crazy association to it, doesn't it? Like putting foil
yeah.
on your windows is like, oh, that's the kooky neighbor.
Yeah, totally. Although now I'm like, it makes so much sense. It
so
totally
sense.
Blocks out the light. It's lightweight. Mm-hmm. It conforms to the shape, right? You can cheap. Like, it's kind of perfect. And it's great for keeping heat. Like, if you're trying to keep heat out of a room, like, it's great. Right. But yeah, it does make you look like the person who's, you know, thinks the aliens are coming and you've got to protect your insulate your house from like the gamma rays or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I got to say, so that worked. It worked well for blocking out the light. It's like pitch black in there. It actually was to the point where like the first day we did the nap in there and I closed the blinds. My toddler said, too dark.
He did.
I was like, that was just the right amount of dark, don't you think?
Uh-huh.
And he slept like he still had a lot of time of chatting to himself, but he did end up sleeping a little bit, but not very long, like an hour maybe.
Mm.
And then on Friday, I noticed that he was like out of nowhere just started crying. Like it was about something. It was like the truck wasn't where I wanted it to be. You know, it was 5 feet in the other direction or something.
He was in his crib when he was crying?
No, I'm sorry. This is just like in the middle of the day. We were just playing and he was just like, truck, and he just starts bawling. And I was like, the truck's right there. It's just, are you crying because it's not right in front of you? And then I noticed a massive stream of drool coming down his cheek.
Uh-oh.
And his chin. And I was like, oh. And I made him open his mouth wide and lo and behold, his bottom left molar was popping through.
Oh, poor guy. Who can sleep when that pain is in your mouth?
I know. But, you know, it's so interesting to me because he never really indicated much, you know, and his nighttime sleep was okay. So anyway, then on Friday, this was Friday morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to give you some ibuprofen before your nap. And I gave him ibuprofen and he slept for 3 hours.
Oh my God. Well, that's good. I'm really glad that he was able to get some rest and some relief.
Me too. And, you know, I need to remember that he's a pretty tough little kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to sort of be a little bit more in tune with him to see if he's maybe showing signs of pain, you know? Because then I look back that maybe the grumpiness in the afternoon when he didn't nap wasn't so much the no nap as it was my mouth hurts, but I don't know how to tell you.
Yeah, you know? That's so hard. It's so hard. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, well, all the time I wonder if Cece's teething, because she, you know, she's kind of cranky a lot and puts her fingers in her mouth a lot. And I'll be like, oh, how's your mouth? Does your mouth hurt? And she always says, yes, hurts. Mm. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you just like taking medicine. You know, my kids love the taste of medicine. They will take it at any turn. So, but I do give it to her sometimes because I'm just like, well, I don't know. Like you said, they can't really communicate and I don't know. So,
yeah.
Tylenol.
Yeah, I figure, you know, as long as you're not going overboard.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the same way. If I say, do you need some medicine? He goes, medicine! And then, like, runs to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, God.
They love it. So they make that stuff so tasty. I was like, what's the deal? I stuck my finger in it the other day and licked it. And I'm like, oh, that is pure sugar.
No wonder they love it.
And a touch of medicine. It's so good.
So anyway, that was what's going on with my toddler. And then with the pregnancy, I'm 28 weeks now, and I had another doctor's appointment this week, and the head is still down.
Good.
So we'll see what happens there. Mm-hmm. And this week, I remembered to ask my doctor about the COVID restrictions at the hospital that I'm planning on giving birth at. And, you know, because the logistics of it are kind of tricky. I was trying to figure out how to have Corey there for the birth, but also be able to have him go home and see the toddler, you know, because my guy's never been away from me ever, which is probably going to be like, who knows? It's another thing for another day to talk about. But like, I didn't want him to be away from Corey too for too long. And my mom's going to be there. But originally I thought, okay, what I'll do is if they allow this, you know, I was pretty sure they only allow one person at a time, which is what they're allowing, right? One visitor at a time. But a lot of places weren't allowing any ins or outs. So I didn't know if Corey could come and go or if he would be able to like trade with my mom, which was what I was really thinking would happen. Like my mom would come, she'd take care of my toddler while I was like either in labor or having my C-section. And then when the baby was born, I would then like tell Corey, like, you know, Corey would have some quality time and then be like, okay, you go home and take care of the toddler, trade off with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like, at least as of right now, they are allowing ins and outs in my hospital.
Oh, okay, that's good.
As long as, like, he said it was like as long as you agree to like not go into public places and not expose yourself in between and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. We don't do that anyway. But like,
yeah. Do the partners or whoever's going to be in there with you have to take a COVID test ahead of time? Does the hospital require that?
I don't think so, based on the fact that they were allowing other people to come in. So it didn't sound like it, but we'll see. So we'll see what happens. But it sounds like they might actually be able to allow like Corey to go home for the night, have my mom stay with me, or even, I mean, she can just stay home and I can have the nurses help or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corey could come back in the morning. So
yeah,
that's optimistic for me. That seems like it would be a little bit easier than like, you know, I was sort of thinking worst case scenario, I just sort of do everything after the birth alone, alone with the nurses.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, you've been there, you've done that. It's, if you were a first time mom, I think that would maybe not be what you would want to do.
Yeah, it would be a lot harder as a first time mom. And, you know, who knows if I'll have complications this time or what, but, you know, I think this time, hopefully I know how to, you know, I know how to breastfeed. I have absolutely no problem with asking the nurses to take the baby away for an hour or something. Mm-hmm. Last time I was like, I don't want to be away from the baby. And then I finally gave in and let the nurse take the baby for like 90 minutes. And it was like the best 90 minutes I had ever had in my life. I was just like, it was so amazing. So
yes,
this time I'm just
so
like,
good.
Here, take him to the nurse's station. I need a rest.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
But that's about it this week.
Good. All right. Well, sounds good. Should we move on to our special segment after this break?
Yes, our new special segment.
Yes, I'm excited.
Me too. Stay with us.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and this week we are so excited because we have a brand new segment that we call What the Hack. And this we have to give a huge shout out to our listener, Morgan. She basically came up with this idea for us, and we are bowing down. Yes, it's an amazing idea. And it came from our community group. Someone had asked something like, what was the hack when like a pea gets stuck in your baby's nose or whatever? And I answered, it's the mother's kiss. And Morgan chimed in and said, oh, I read that as what the hack? And then she's like, that would be a great segment. And we were like, yes, it would be. Let's do it. So here we are. And what we're doing in this segment is just sharing some of our best mom hacks, our tips, tricks, what have you, for dealing with babies, toddlers, kids, etc. So Laura, you're up first, and I'm dying to know what your hacks are because I think I could definitely learn a thing or two from you. So what do you got?
Yeah, and also in the future, we're going to be opening up this up to our listeners because, you know, we will run out of hacks eventually, I think. So, you know, start thinking now about all the hacks you can help us with, and we'll let you know how to share them at the end of the episode. But okay, here's my first one. So I'm going to start with like the baby stuff, the newborn and that phase.
Okay.
Here's something I did not know. Hack, revelation, I'm not sure. But I did not know. So when you get a new like pacifier or bottle or like nipples for bottles, they always say like sterilize before first use, right? And you're like, okay. And they, of course, sell these fancy bottle sterilizers that you can buy. But what I didn't realize until my baby was like about 6 months old and like didn't need sterilization anymore is that if you run your dishwasher with the heat cycle, like the heated dry, it is a sterilizer.
It is? Like without water or anything, just like put the dial to the end of the cycle?
No. You run the whole cycle. But as long as the heated dry is on, like you can't just do the air dry. You have to have the heated dry at the end. You sterilize what you have in there.
That's great.
So if you don't want to buy a freaking like bottle sanitizer, steaming doohickey, you don't have to. You can just run your dishwasher.
That's great. What if there's other stuff in there, like plates with caked on mac and cheese and, you know, all that jazz? Do you think that would still work?
I mean, it did for me. I mean, I think the thing is, because, you know, it's supposed to, you get a rinse, it gets rinsed out, and it's really this heated steam at the end. It's like the temperature and duration, I think. So I would do your own research, if, especially if you have a kid who's like immunocompromised or something, make sure that this is still okay for them. But everyone I consulted said that, yeah, running the dishwasher with the heated dry is good enough. And the only downside is that if you have, like, you know, only a few bottles left and you don't have a full, you know, cycle to run on the dishwasher, it can be kind of annoying. Like, it's much faster to have a sterilizer. But if you're like me and don't have a lot of counter space, it's really helpful. So
that is. And can you also boil the items? Because I remember getting new nipples and pacifiers and like sticking them in a big pot of boiling water for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's another way to sterilize for sure.
Dishwasher is easier and it's definitely a hack though. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes. So that's my first one. Okay. What's your first one?
My first one has to do with newborns too. And this is, you know, the witching hour where it's around 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening and the baby's just losing it. I really, really struggled with that with Elle first time around. And we would try anything and everything to get her to quiet down and relax, including like the white noise machine, noise on our phones, etc. And the one thing that ended up working for us was running the vacuum. And the other reason this is a hack is because it's a 2-for-1. You like get to clean up your house while also calming your newborn. So I would just be holding her and walking around running the vacuum cleaner. It's so loud. They love that really, really, really loud sound. And that worked well for us.
That sounds like a very like 1950s mom hack. Not this isn't meant as a dig, you know, like it's a good one. It's like a classic.
Yeah,
I feel like
it's totally a classic. It's like the put your baby in a seat on top of the washing machine to give them vibration. Yes. Like now they have so many doohickeys like that you can just buy a seat that vibrates. But I think back then that's what you do. Just put them on
before
the washing machine.
Before the Mamaroo. Yeah, you just did that.
Okay. Do you have a mom hack where you're not tapping back into the distant past for us?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how long this has been going on, but I learned from a friend right before I had my baby the proper way to hold a car seat. And I had never encountered this before, and I want to make sure everyone knows. So it's really hard to explain on the podcast. So I really encourage people to like Google, you know, hold a car seat with your elbow, basically. Like,
hold on. Before you go any further, for some reason, when you said hold a car seat, I'm like picturing myself walking around with an empty car seat in my arms, like cradling. What do you mean? Like when the baby's in it? Or
when the baby's in it. So, you know, when like they're really little and you click them in and out of the base or whatever, and you're walking around with them in the car seat. I feel like the natural way you think is you just sort of like grab the handle at the top, right? Which is, it's called a handle for a reason. And you lug it around and your shoulders all hunched up and you're like swinging the baby around.
And it knocks your knees because like the handle doesn't really, I don't know. I remember it just like didn't work in the right direction or something.
Yeah. So the hack is you stand, so you put the car seat down next to you, like on the ground with the baby facing back, like facing behind you, right?
Okay.
So like you would be face to face essentially with the baby. Then you slide your arm through the side of the handle and hook your hand around the like circular base of the handle, the part where that you press on to like tilt it, right? And you do that is like when you do that, you're kind of creating your hand is holding that big knob, and the inside of your elbow and forearm are pressed against the whole weight of the handle, right? Like the arched handle.
Okay, I could picture this.
And it's so much more natural. It distributes the weight better. And it's a genius way to hold the car seat. So maybe I'll try to demonstrate it if I can like get my car seat out of storage in time for this episode. And I mean, I need to get it soon anyway.
Yeah.
And demonstrate it. But there's a lot of videos too online about like how to hold the car seat more ergonomically. If I can't take a video, we'll find something on Instagram and reblog it. What do you call it on Instagram? Repost it?
Repost. Reblog yes. it.
Yeah.
Reblog. That's cool. That's a cool hack. I never, ever did that. I definitely held it a weird way that just like would bang me in the knees and I'd get pissed off and everything. So
how did I not teach you that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I feel like I failed you.
Yes.
Maybe I just assumed you knew.
I don't know, Laura. I guess you just failed me on this one.
I am sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
I'll try to redeem myself in future hacks, but I want to hear what your next hack is first.
Okay. All right. I have a few hacks for bath time for when your kids don't want to take a bath or they're feeling resistant to it. A couple of them require some advanced planning.
Okay.
So if you want to have these kinds of things on hand, I think that might be cool. A few things my girls have loved when they're like, I don't want to take a bath. I'm like, oh, do you want to take a candlelight bath? And all of a sudden, it transforms bath time into something so magical. I just like pull out some old candle from the other room and put it in there, turn off the lights, and they just have a bath by candlelight. And they love that. It's really exciting. Have you ever done that with your guy?
No, I have not. But I'm putting that in my back pocket for sure.
Yeah. So another one that's really fun, which I was able to try because this was after Halloween one year, and I had a bunch of glow sticks, you know, those little ones that you like kind of bend and they go crack and they become like this neon thing.
I love those things.
I will be like, LCC, you want to take a glow stick bath? Oh my God. Yes. Ah, they go crazy instantly into the bathtub. Again, turn off the lights if you have enough of these things. And they glow and illuminate the bathtub and they like look really cool underwater. And it's just like a fun thing for them to play with in there that's out of the ordinary.
That's very out of the box. I love it.
And the other one is actually a product that I never knew existed until recently. It's called Mr. Bubble Foam Soap. And it's kind of like shaving cream, but for kids, It's just got a really like nice, light, mild smell, and it's actually soap, and they can like push it and it comes spitting out, and it's fun. It's so fun. They go absolutely bonkers for that. They love it. And these are just different things than like, oh, do you want to take a bubble bath, which we had done before, but that kind of wears out, you know, its excitement after a while.
It's lost its shine.
So those three things are things you can bring into the bath time for your kids if you want to.
I'm definitely going to remember those. I need to get some glow sticks.
Yeah, they're so fun. So fun.
Cool, cool. Okay, so I'm moving on to some potty training hacks that I've discovered recently.
Oh, thank God. I need this. I need this help in my life right now.
And this is one, I took it straight from the Oh Crap book, but it's worth repeating and remembering, which is never, under any circumstances, ask them if they have to go potty.
I do that all the time. Oh, God.
You know why? It doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
It Maybe really you have doesn't. A
kid who is like some kind of vanguard ahead of his time. But like for me, if I ever ask, do you need to go potty? He'll say no every single time. No, 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 no potty, no potty. Mm-hmm. So my hack that I got straight from Jamie Glowacki, the Pied Piper of poop, or whatever she calls herself.
Yeah.
Is you never ask, you just say, if you think they need to go potty and they're not prompting themselves, you say, it's time for potty. It's a statement. It's just a thing that's happening. And it's not a question. And that's worked really, really well for us. So
good. Yes. Does he protest it, though? I feel like when I, on the rare occasion I do say it as a statement, Cece loses her mind. She's just like, no, and you know, it depends. It's really hard.
It depends. I have some tricks for how to get around that, too.
Oh, good.
But that's going to be my grand finale of my hack.
Okay.
First, I got to hear your next hack.
Okay. This one is just so awesome. I love it. You know how I am with art projects with kids. Like, I love art. I love doing art with kids, but the mess stresses me out a lot, unfortunately. So my hack for this is to use a cafeteria tray to present the materials and do the art project on. So you could put the painting paper on there. You can put crayons on there with the paper, glue, any little wily little arts and craftsy things, beads, sticks, feathers, you know, if you're making like a 3D art piece. And the tray has the edges, so nothing really rolls away. The markers don't roll away. Granted, you know, stuff does get outside of the tray. This is not perfect, but it's better than everything rolling all over, paint and mess all over your table, glue everywhere. If they like do a bad job gluing with a glue stick, it goes on the cafeteria tray instead of on your table. And so when it's all done, and I just pack everything onto the tray and carry it out like I'm going to give it to the dishwasher. And I love it.
Where do you acquire cafeteria trays?
Great question. Amazon does sell them. And when I was looking into this, unfortunately, they sell them in bulk, I've noticed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, you don't really need like 300 cafeteria trays in your home. But I was just searching more and more and more because I was like, someone has got to make either some kind of cute plastic serving tray, you know, for food that I could use if, and it could be the right size, or someone's got to have done this for art. And so I just searched and searched until I found really cute blue plastic little serving trays, and it came as a pack of three.
Oh, that's and a lot more reasonable.
Yeah, way more reasonable. It's so awesome. I love that they're plastic, so when they paint with watercolor, you know, it just goes onto the tray and not through to whatever else.
That's amazing. This is making me think I need to do more art with my guy. We barely do anything.
Oh, really? Try it. It's just fun.
Oh, I mean, we do markers, we've done some paint, but the level of interest, it just wanes very quickly. So, yeah, but maybe if I get those trays, he does love a container. He loves putting things into containers and taking things out of containers. So,
okay, well, that might just be the thing.
Yeah.
So that's that. Laura, you have another one for us?
I was thinking maybe let's take a quick break and then come back and do our last few.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, great.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and Laura, I'm dying to know your grand finale of mom hacks that have to do with potty training, so.
Yes. Okay, so you asked what happens, like, when I say it's time to potty, and he's not into it still, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'd say it's about 50-50. Sometimes he'll just be like, mom says it's time to potty, so I guess we gotta go. And I think part of it is because he does know he has to go, so he's like, okay. And we're further along in the process than you are, don't mm-hmm. forget, so. But on the times when he's like, no potty, because that does happen. He's so engaged in his play. But I know it's been like almost 2 hours since he's had a pee and he's been drinking water. And I'm just like, this is going to be a problem. I stumbled upon a hack that was really helpful, which was I sat him down on the potty. This was straight out of my brain. I feel very proud of this. Mm. And I said, do you want to play a game? And the minute I said that, he was like, yes. You know, he was just like, yes, you know, so he immediately snapped out of his protest. I said, okay, we're going to sit on the potty and we're going to count to 10 and we're going to see what number the pee-pee comes out.
Oh, that's genius.
And because he right now he loves counting. He's really into counting. He's not like actually, you know, he's very rudimentarily counting things. Not really, you know, he'll like go like 1, 2, 8, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he loves the concept of counting. So, like, mm-hmm. I sat him down and I was like, 1, 2. And of course, like, the pee starts coming out on 1 because he really had to pee, right? And then I was like, oh, listen, did you hear the pee came out on 1? And he, like, gave me this big smile and he was so excited.
Aww.
So that worked. really well.
That's so good. I'm going to have to use that one.
Yeah. And that was sort of an offshoot of a thing I got out of the Oh Crap Method book, which is the cue. Like if you have a kid who's like having trouble releasing on the potty, which I guess is a really common thing, and we ran into a little bit, instead of being like, let's have a pee-pee, like what does it feel like to have a pee-pee come out, which sometimes that works, right? Like what does it feel like to let a pee-pee out? Instead you say, I want to hear a pee-pee, or I want to hear a poo-poo, or whatever words you use for you know, for your number one, number two. And that seems to trigger them in, because like he'll get quiet and then he'll like focus and then he'll pee. And that worked really well, especially in the early days when we were still learning. You know, now it's kind of become default. Like he knows when he sits on the potty, he just pees. It's sort of.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to get that association, the I want to hear a pee pee worked crazy well.
That's awesome. It also takes the focus off of the actual going and it puts it in some other sense in their body. So that's really, really good.
Yeah. So I really recommend that. Okay. And yeah, hopefully that works for CC.
I hope so. I'm going to try both of those. Definitely.
Cool. Cool. All right. So that was my last one. Do you have one more for us?
Okay. My next one is a trick for getting toddlers and kids to blow their nose.
Whoa.
With a Kleenex, you know?
Yeah.
At a certain point, you kind of need to stop using the nose Frida because they're not into it. Sometimes they'll do it themselves, but, you know, it's more convenient to just have them blow their little nose.
Yeah.
My friend Jordan taught me this. I saw her just do it with her child, and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, this helps him blow his nose. And I was like, oh, that's so great. Okay, so you take the Kleenex, normal kid, you go up to their nose. They're like, no. Shaking their head. They don't want that thing to touch their snot or whatever. But her trick was you bring it up to their nose and be like, how hard can you blow this Kleenex? Can you blow it across the room? And then they're like, and they blow into the tissue and you bring the tissue back as if it's flying a little bit away from their face, but it doesn't get across the room yet. So you have to bring it back and be like, I don't know, I think you need to blow a little bit harder. And they go, you know, and it goes a little bit farther. And I'll do this with my kids until, you know, they've done like five or six takes into the tissue. And by that time I'm like, and it's flying so far. And it's just a fun little game to get them to actually want to do it.
That's genius. Turn it into a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Makes that total sense.
Helps. Yep. Yeah. But it's cute to see the little tissue fly across the room. And they think that's so funny. Those are all of the hacks that I have for this awesome new segment that Morgan suggested to us.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you. And we want to hear from you all what your mom hacks are, because we can learn from you, listeners can learn from you, and I'm sure that of all the brains out there listening to our show have come up with some amazing hacks. Please share them with us. We are going to share them on a future episode so we can all benefit. Laura, how can people send in these mom hacks to us?
Yes. So the absolute best thing you could do is send us a voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com, because we love to hear your voices. We love to hear it in your voice. We love to hear from our listeners. So please, if you can do it, send us a voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you're not into that sort of thing, you can just send us a normal email to that email address, or reach us on one of our social channels. We're at BFP Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or meet us on our community page. Search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook and request to join. And yeah, send us those mom hacks. I can't wait.
Me
too. We need them.
Yay.
I'm about to have a newborn again, guys. I need them.
Yeah, you do. All right. Well, Laura, I think we need to move on to our BFPs and BFNs. Shall we do that now?
Let's do it. Okay, so we close every week with our Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives of the week. And I want to know, Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
This week I have a BFN.
Aw, wah, wah.
Wah, wah. This is a little bit of a tough one, but I do want to talk about it because I think it's an important part of being a parent and having your kids grow up. This week, we had to tell Elle and Cece, but, you know, mostly Elle because she's older, that her grandma's dog died. And this is a dog that Elle actually lived with for about a year and did know very well. The dog hasn't been at our house for a while, and grandma went to take care of her and kind of see her to the end because she was very sick. And, you know, Cece knew. And Al knew that that was going on. And so when Grandma came back, you know, it's like she came back. We were just around the table after a meal. And Steve was like, Al, we have something to tell you. Grandma's dog died. Freya was her name. And it's just so hard. I didn't really realize how it was going to affect me to have to tell my little girl about like the truth about death, you know, for the first time and at the age where she could understand it. She knew about death, right? Like, because you see dead squirrels in the street and, you know, she'll step on a bug. She used to be like, I died a bug. I died a bug. Oh, no. So, you know, she didn't, she got it, but she didn't really get it. So, yeah, as a parent, it's just like crossing this threshold with your child of like, okay, you're not going to be like completely naive and carefree really anymore because life can be complicated. And here's this thing and you're crossing this threshold and I'm helping you do it. And, oh, man, it can be, it was tough.
Yeah, you know, my mom has this thing she always says that she thinks that the true moment innocence is lost with a kid is when they first, like, understand about death, like, when they learn about it.
I can see that, really, because I felt like that was a big moment for her.
So how did she react? Like, what did she say? How did it go?
She was quiet, solemn, hearing the information, and you could see her little brain working. And we were like, it's very sad and disappointing. And she was like, that is sad. And then she looks over at Chili and Sasha, who are our two dogs. And as she's looking at them, she says, so dogs die? And we're like, yep, dogs die. And she goes, when do dogs die? And you know, it's like, oh gosh, okay, well, when they get older, oftentimes they get sick and et cetera, et cetera. And so she's taking that in. And then she pauses and she looks at Steve and she goes, so does that mean people die?
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like gonna cry just thinking about that moment. I mean, oh my goodness, that's something I didn't want her to know ever, right? But that's impractical. You cannot protect your kids from that information. And she has known about death and the concept of dying, but she never knew that people were going to die.
Oh.
So, you know, going on, I could see that she was processing it for a few days. She's really thinks about things for a while. Any big information we've told her, I could see this is how she handles this. So that was the end of the conversation at the table, more or less. And then, you know, a couple nights later, going to bed to Steve, she was like, I don't want you to die. And, you know, so like those kinds of things, they're moving into more complicated thoughts about it. And then one night I was putting her to bed and she said, Mama, do you know something that's really, really sad? And I was like, what? And she goes, I'm going to die. And I was like, oh, my God, stop. Like my heart is just breaking, coming out of my chest. And I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, I was completely speechless. I did not know how to answer her. And then she goes, well, do you know what's even sadder, like sadder than that? And of course, I'm like, literally nothing. I can't think of anything sadder than that. And she's like, Sasha's gonna die.
For people who maybe aren't following along, Sasha is Shauna's other dog.
Yeah, my little Chihuahua dog. Oh my God. So, you know, just she's still childish about it, you know, and it's just, it's a huge situation with so many emotions and stuff, but that made me laugh. Yeah. And so we're just, it's just still an ongoing thing, just helping your child understand what this part of life means. And Cece will be there someday too, but probably a lot sooner because she's got a big sister. So he's going to tell her about all that stuff.
Yeah. I've worried about this because my older cat is old and like he's 14, which for cats doesn't necessarily mean they're that old, but he was like getting really skinny for a while. And I was just like, oh crap, Magnus, like Magnus might be, you know, sooner than later. Luckily, he's kind of turned around. I was like on Operation Fatten Up Magnus and it's actually working really well. So I think Magnus is doing better. But I was having that thought. I was like, how the hell am I going to explain this? Mm-hmm. You know, especially to a toddler. I think with Elle being older, you know, she sort of can process it for longer. But that's a really hard one. I feel like it's also, like you say, you know, she's going to process for a while. I kind of feel like it just kind of never ends in a way.
That's true.
You know, you just keep having to process the fact that people die and dogs mm-hmm. and cats and, you know, it's a tough one. It's like kind of the big question of life in general. And that's really tough.
Yeah. And as much as I wanted to avoid it, I think it was really good, especially Steve was so good about it, you know, just dealing with it head on and being honest and being compassionate and giving her time to think about it and telling her that she's allowed to ask any questions about it. And I don't know, he modeled a really good way of dealing with a difficult situation. So that's kind of a BFP in that whole situation. So yeah, that's mine. I'm sorry it's a little bit of a downer, but such is life, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for your mother-in-law and Freya.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Big hugs.
Big virtual hugs. Big virtual hugs. All right, let's move on to you. What do you have for us this week?
I'll close with a BFP.
Okay. Kinda. Yay. Lighten things up a bit.
Well, so this is a thing that I was reminded of when you were doing your check-in about the tickles. We have a similar thing that we've started doing. It's a little different, but it's a similar, like, in that it's sort of a connection, a body emotional connection thing you do before bedtime. And it's what we call the squeezes.
Oh, God, that's so cute. Okay, what's that?
I learned it actually from my Mommy and Me class, the teacher. And I was asking her about, like, what do I do about my incredibly energetic, physically active toddler who just won't wind down before bed? And so she suggested this thing called progressive muscle relaxation. Do you know about that?
Oh, I can picture that. I think I've done some guided meditations where they walk you through that kind of thing.
Yeah, and this is a thing that, like, much older kids or adults can do, right? Where basically what it is you tense up your muscle groups sort of one at a time as you take deep breaths and you sort of go through your whole body. And the idea is, you know, it helps you relax, and activating your large muscle groups does something, you know, physiologically that helps you relax too. Mm-hmm. I know that it's actually recommended in that book Burnout that I've talked about a bunch by the Nagoski sisters, where you, like, do progressive muscle relaxation while also, like, visualizing, like, defeating your whatever your stressors are. Like, you squeeze your thigh muscles as hard as possible as you imagine beating down the thing that's freaking you out today, you know, causing you stress.
I like that. Especially if you don't have, like, a boxing gym to go and punch something. You can just, like,
Rrr. Exactly.
Oh, it, cool.
It's, so it's basically trying to, like, you know, trying to mimic the fight or flight response, you know, specifically the fight response without being able to actually fight. Like, if you can't punch a punching bag or go on a really long run, you do this and you try to visualize it with our imagination. So, obviously, no, like, 22-month-old is doing this, but the way my teacher recommended is you kind of do it for them.
Oh, okay.
And so I was just like, I'm ready to try anything, because he would just be running circles before bedtime. I need some way to, like, ground him. And this is what she recommended. So I did it. And so what I would do is I'd make him lie down, which is hard enough, but I'll be like, it's time to do our squeezes. And I would be like, I'd take his foot, and you have to actually use a pretty firm squeeze. You're not hurting them, obviously, but, like, you want it to be firm, because it's almost like a massage, like a deep tissue massage, not one of those, like, little piddly massages, but you want to, like, really make sure that they feel it in their muscles. And I would say, like, first I'd start with the feet, and I'd say, good night, feet, and I'd squeeze, and I'd take a deep breath in and out. And then I'd go, good night, calves, and I'd squeeze his calves and take a deep breath in and out. And, you know, so it's slowing down, and he thinks it's so funny. Like, he would giggle and stuff, and he thinks it feels good. And, like, good night thighs, I'd go good night chest, good night back, good night shoulders. That's a favorite. He kind of giggles and, you know, puts his shoulders up to his ears. And then you do the face, like, good night cheeks, good night forehead. His favorite, though, is good night scalp. You do sort of, like, all your fingers along the scalp and, like, you know, firmly give a scalp massage. I mean, he blisses out when I do that. It's the
so
cutest
cute.
Thing. He goes from giggling and kind of squirming to just, like, whoa. And then he asks for it. He'll be like, good night, scalp. Good night, scalp. And I'll do it. And then I'll do, like, good night, whole body. And I'll just, you know, like, rub all the way down his body so that he can, like, get the feeling and relax. And he goes, good night, whole body. And he asks for more. And it is really great. It's a really great connection. You know, it's really sweet to do with him. And I do think it really works at, like, just calming him down before bed.
I can see
and he
that.
Asks for it now. He goes, squeezes. So aww. It's really sweet. So I highly recommend it if you have a kid who just like their body and mind just cannot shut down before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Try this, you
That's
know, see if
awesome.
It works. A couple nights in a row, see if it cools them down, you know?
Yeah. Very yeah. cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to try that on my kiddos. And I don't know if I can get away with it with an almost 5-year-old, but we'll see. Maybe.
She might like it. You might call it something different, you know, or but she might be old enough. She might be able to squeeze it, do it herself, too.
Oh, true.
With a little prompting. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's my BFP, and I think that's our show.
I think it is. Yay. Listeners, like we said before, we would love for you to share your mom hacks with us. So please send them our way. And if there's anything else you want to share for us, please reach out. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. You can go to our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, or send us a voice memo or email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. Search Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join. It's a private group. Answer the 2 membership questions and we'll get you right through to the amazing conversations and cute baby pictures that we have in there.
If you love our show, please consider rating or reviewing us wherever you listen to podcasts. That's so helpful. Your positive reviews and words about what you like about the show make new listeners want to take a chance on our show. So it's so, so meaningful to us. And if you love the show, spread the word. Let others know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.